Blog Talk Radio.
Apocalypse 1:14.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Doce tribos baila mis hermanos. Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Doce tribos baila mis hermanos.
Black Wall Street, ball out. I buy on all gear till I'm all out. Rep 12 tribes, that's what I'm about. Feast day, gotta work, wanna call out. Dance floor, yeah, I'm in a groove. Don't pay them haters no attention till I move. Celebrating, see me dancing on my shoes. To the old life, I'm chucking up the dudes. It's a new moon and I'm feeling great. Off on time and I'm never late. Got my brothers with me and they all straight. Good wine, good food on my dinner plate. Yeah, we just chillin', having fun. Sayonara, old world, cause you done. Y'all got me shining like the sun. I ain't always shining with the sun.
Move your feet in your sneakers. The music sweet through the speakers. One man to a mama teacher. Celebrate, true believers. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscles them. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance till you can't feel your body.
Jesus Christ is moreno.
Shalom, welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. I am Captain Yahshua.
Captain Aparium, Shabbat Shalom.
Hey, Shalom, Officer Amariah.
Shalom, Soldier Nehemiah.
A.K.A. Teddy Pendergrass.
A.K.A.
Silky smooth voice. All praise to the Most High for another Sabbath and being able to put the Spirit on us to continue to do this show and do the Lord's will. So, call in number 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797. You can listen in on blogtalkradio.com/IUICPhoenix. The only way to call in live and ask your questions would be through that forum, all right, 516-531-9797. Or you can find us on Facebook at, we have a new handle. Hold on, I created a new handle so it's a little easier. Hold on, I got to look it up. I forgot what we picked.
How does he sound to you?
I don't know.
It sounds a little low.
It sounds different.
Your headphones are a little low. You want to raise your headphone?
Is that what it is?
You want to? Is that? Does that sound better?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So
big difference. All right.
Yep.
Turn me up too.
Where you at? Right
I think he's that one. Yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
How you feel?
Oh, why are you messing with him? That's mad loud. Oh.
You good?
Technical difficulties. You can find us on Facebook at the Lost 144K. All right. That's the handle to look for us on Facebook, at the Lost 144K. So, a lot going on during the week, as always. That's mine. Thank you.
No, he said you were too loud.
Okay, but that's my headphone, so that's not going to affect him.
Oh, yours?
Yeah.
Better?
All right. So, today's show is called The Christmas Show.
The Christmas Show.
The Christmas Special. I was just going to leave it as The Christmas Show and have people bug out and be like, wait a second, Christmas? Because I figured it would be more juice. But then some people, they don't learn the truth first before they pass judgment, like the scriptures say. They just start saying, oh, them Northern Kingdom captains, they talking about Christmas.
Yep.
So I got to temper my marketing based around the audience.
I knew that they were agents.
I knew it. Right, exactly. So I had to make sure I put the AKA pagan holiday, pagan origins, and all that stuff like that because people would bug out. But you know, Captain Parn gave me the idea. I totally forgot, right? Like I knew it was so-called Christmas. I was like, yo, what can we talk about? He said, blast Christmas. I said, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because that fat ass Santa I saw yesterday, adults going up to him. I've been good, Santa. Can you give me a candy cane? So I'm talking about adults. The kids weren't even acting that way. That got me mad, man.
Hey, don't forget to talk about the black Santa married to the white Santa
that's
a homo.
Yeah, I saw that. Yep.
Well, don't forget. Let's talk about that,
even
too.
Even that's crappy that they made his husband black or so-called black.
Of course.
That's for sympathy, bro. They try to make it. They're still trying to push that. They're at the same level like with us, blacks, Hispanic, Native American. That's all that is, man. Oh, we're minorities, too. No, you're weird.
So as usual, I'll go ahead and start posting some links, get some stuff queued up here, all right? And y'all could start discussing some stuff while I do that.
Wow. So yeah, so like I was saying, you know, I'm having some breakfast with my wife and my son, and freaking my dude dressed up as Santa, okay, comes into the damn place we were eating at with a bag and candy cane. Oh man, the full thing, man. You know. Got these adults running up to him, sending their kids up to you know, to this thing. And I say this thing because if you really know your history, and a few years back, Captain Yashua, myself, and a few other brothers, we went out to Manhattan because we had a news reporter who, well, praises to the Most High, is no longer a news reporter anymore.
Well, yeah, right now she's doing like the show, right? Like,
she's doing
like a show now, like she's like the Edomite Wendy Williams.
Oh, yeah, so she's
doing
that?
Yeah.
Wow, that's
so
degrading, man.
Yeah, so she's doing a show like that.
She went
that.
From up here to down here, man.
Yeah, so I saw it at the gym the other day, and I said, wow, this is what she's doing now. So she has a morning show, and, you know, people prefer to see, you know, the whole, what they imagine to be the perfect image, you know, the blonde hair, blue eye. She does, like, little cooking, you know, like, a little segment
of
cooking.
Oh, so she's doing, like, a Rachel Ray type thing and stuff like
that? Well, no,
man.
She's not cooking, but, like, she'll do. Like have a chef on, she'll talk about different things, you know, so it's like that, like she'll interview people and stuff. So she's not doing like news commentary from what I understand.
Pathetic,
I think that's where she's at now.
Hey, make a long story short, man, we went out in front of the building and man, Rock by 30 Rock, to go where were we at over there, right?
It was over there, Rock.
Yeah, right there,
over
there. Cause she came out and had a segment, y'all see it on YouTube, she's talking about Santa's white and so is Christ. So we went out there and we just blasted that whole thing because the real St. Nicholas was actually a black man.
Yeah, what Santa's based on.
Right.
Because, you know, I've read comments on that stuff and people are caught up. But so what? Santa's not real. Which at least some of our people are saying. Like the freaking morons going up getting candy canes the other day.
Right.
But, like, the whole premise behind it is that they don't understand. Like, if what it's based on, the real saint was a black man.
Yeah, black man that gave out gifts to the poor other Israelite, you know.
Right.
You know, of children. So what bothers my mind is, aside from the adults going up to him and going up there and getting a candy, just goes to show you the how deep that rabbit hole goes, man, you know, with putting that thing in front of your kids, right? Got the parents that they'll tell their kids, I guarantee they tell them, it's not good to lie, Becky, but you go ahead and run. And Northern kid, I'm talking about Northern and Southern running up to this thing and sending their kids up there to get candy canes. Talk about actual Israelites. All right, so you tell your kid it's a lie, but you lie to him that a fat man comes down the chimney and bring gifts. I remember the day, man. I was like, I think 6 years old, man. I believe that crap, right? I seen my parents packing my gifts, and talking about how expensive it was, and why did I get this one? I was like, damn, that fat man don't exist. You know, it changed my world. I couldn't give two damns, to be quite honest with you. Go ahead and give my gift. The way I looked at it back then, yeah, I didn't know any better.
Right.
You know, but the point is that all the morals, right, go out the window when it comes to Christmas. Because as we're going to get into the show, first of all, Christ was never born on Christmas. Never. So all these Christmas carols that you sing that have related to Christ being born on Christmas are BS. Lies.
Correct.
Right?
That is correct.
Okay. And Christ was born around springtime. Okay, what we call April, March, April, around there. Right? That's why they call him the Passover. It's born about Passover. And you're going to see, man, that Christmas, man, is all based on pagan, man. So many, all these holidays that we worship, man, are all pagan, man. And they masquerade them under religion. You got something?
Yeah, I mean, even back in the world, like, celebrating Christmas, New Year's, those things never really resonated with me anyways. But
no, I like New Year's.
I hated Christmas, especially because, like you said, one parents are teaching their kids to not lie, but then they're going out, they're busting their tails off to work to pay for gifts to give the glory to a so-called man. And not only that, Christmas is the highest suicide rate of the year.
Damn.
Yeah, because but like some false sense of what the day should be, and then people who aren't keeping it that way, they get all bummed out. I'm alone,
right, exactly.
And it creates this whole.
I'm alone. I can't afford gifts for my kids this year.
Yeah,
When really, that's. I mean, like you said, if you kept it the way it's supposed to be kept, that's not how it's supposed to be kept. Anyways, it's not even about those things, but. I mean, it just goes back to show. It's, but that's why Esau has all those feel good things to tie into it well too. That way, it can compensate for the depression that comes behind it.
Oh, you know what else pissed me off too, man? You got Jake singing these Christmas carols.
Just season.
You got Mariah Carey gonna go ahead and perform again after they did her dirty a couple of New Year's ago. She's gonna go perform on New Year's. I just read it this morning. All right, singing they said that her song "All I Want for Christmas Is Whatever." Yeah, that song "All I Want." Like one of the most played.
Yeah, it's one of her biggest hits.
One of her biggest hits, man. So they even got Jake.
She stay getting paid.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Can I get a script?
Yeah, okay, man.
Yeah. Oh. Give me Deuteronomy 6 verse 7, and then give me Colossians 2 verse 8, because the chiefest excuse that our people use is what? It's for the kids. I do it for the kids.
Yeah, that's a big one. Yep.
It's the worst.
You know, it's for my kids to feel good and everything else. When God has plenty of holy days that we keep for our children. But read that real quick.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, and verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children.
So the things that we should keep and teach diligently unto our children is God's commandments. Read on.
And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. Thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.
Jump up to verse 1 real quick, so that way understand that this is talking about God's laws. Read that.
Verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whether ye go to possess it.
Now give me Colossians 2 verse 8, because they'll say, okay, well, that was the Old Testament, but not understanding that this is the book of the commandments of God. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, the whole Bible is dealing with the Most High's laws. Read that.
Colossians chapter 2 verse 8.
Because we just read that. We should teach our children diligently, so the laws that we should be teaching diligently unto our children. Read.
Beware, lest any man spoil you through folly and vain deceit.
Read.
After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ.
That's one of the things that we should be teaching diligently unto our children, is that Christ, all right, falsely so-called, that pagan holiday that has nothing but pagan origins, is a tradition of man and not after Christ.
It says rudiments. Read it again.
Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy. And
spoil means to destroy you. So that means you are destroyed every time you follow these so-called holidays. Okay, go ahead.
Through philosophy and vain deceit.
Philosophy, because you got a lot of brothers, right? They'd be like, oh, sisters, oh, man, that's deep, man. Yeah, you know, this is deep. You know, man, it's philosophical. Okay? And what? And vain deceits?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's lies. Okay, go ahead.
After the tradition of men?
Tradition of men, not of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Not of the Bible. Men created this. Go ahead.
After the rudiments of the world.
Who has the definition of rudiment? Okay. Rudiment, if I'm not mistaken, means very base, rudimentary, simple. Those to the Most High God. All these holidays are simple. Because when you look at them, first and foremost, we've been bamboozled for years to believe that Christ was born on Christmas. That's bamboozlement. Right? Bamboozling. They put up those stupid activities and a big. How a baby is winter, right? And a baby butt naked in a barn. And I remember when I was in Catholic school, man, I asked the nun, you know, how did he stay warm? She said, oh, the animals were breathing on. Sister Anne Marie.
Onions,
man.
Sister Onions.
Yep.
She said
the animals are breathing. So I'm picturing like the sheep and the.
Rudiments is going to take you even deeper with what I'm about to read, all right?
Look at this.
All right.
See, one quick before you get in there. This is why it's so important. When you read the scriptures, You can't roll over words, man. Those words are in there. There's power in words, man.
A mere beginning, first slight appearance, here it is, or undeveloped or imperfect form of something. Mm-hmm. So it's telling you the things of this world are undeveloped or imperfect. That's why he calls them rudiments, that those things, that they don't profit you. It's all vanity. It's all vanity.
Damn. That's
read it. Read it again.
Yeah, but you got to read it again.
Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit.
And so that's what it's saying, all right? These are all philosophies, because you go up to people and you tell them, you know, the origins of it, and surprisingly, many of them will tell you, yeah, I know that, but it's for the kids, or it's for this or that. That's why the scripture is telling you, beware, because that's philosophies, and it's vain, all right? It says vain deceits, okay? Meaning it's not just that vanity means that it has no value. There's nothing of substance to it, right, which is good in contrast to when we get to rudiments, all right? There's no substance to it, but it says vain deceits, right? Read it again.
Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit.
Vain deceit. So it's telling you that it's deceitful, okay, that it's something that's going to lead you astray, and in that, it is a worse, the worst type of deceit, because it's vain deceit.
Right.
There's nothing at the end of it. There's nothing that can profit you from that. Go ahead.
After the tradition of men?
Because those are traditions of men, because people will tell you, well, we keep it because, you know, it's just something that we've always
done. They can't even come up with a value. Right.
And this so traditions of men is when they say that it's for the kids. All right, when you hear something like that and you say it's for the kids, that's the traditions of men.
And that's deceitful. You're deceiving your children. You're showing them how to lie inadvertently.
Correct. Go ahead, read on.
After the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ.
After the rudiments. After the imperfect form of things of the world, and not after Christ. And that's such a great analogy, because Christ is the form of perfection for us.
That's right.
And the rudiments are of the world are imperfect. It's telling you that by keeping those things in Christmas, you are damaging yourself. It's not just Christmas. We use that scripture obviously clearly to encompass all those type of things, because Paul lived at that time when many of these things were pronounced in the earth, all this paganism, all these false gods, much more so. Today it's more subtle in how it's done. There it was more blatant. So he wasn't going to break down and tell you Valentine's, Mother's Day, Father's Day. So he just said, listen, man, there's too much here for me to freaking go and break down the name of what the – and plus there were different names at those times, what it was called. And he encompassed it by the whole thing. And he's telling you by the rudiments of the world, okay? That's, listen, you know, that's another one that you could put with John 3:16 in a certain context when it talks about, you know, he so loved the world. It's telling you the rudiments of the world is crap.
Right. So how did he love the whole world?
So how did he love the whole world? So that's why it
yeah, that's heavy right there. That's a good point.
Well, yeah, you got to – listen, man, I'm a big proponent of looking at words. I say this all the time.
Yeah, man.
We have a general semblance and understanding of what a word means. But when you start to look at the definition, especially much more so in the English language than anything else, you have to look at these words because English has like a million words to say the same thing.
Yeah, right.
So sometimes it'll put it in a simpler form. You got to kind of bring yourself back to school when they would say, okay, use it in a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's when you get like real understanding. If you can articulate it in a sentence, it really kind of takes you there to that point.
Hey, even with punctuation marks, when you read the Bible, well, read anything, but even punctuation marks, commas, semicolons, colons—they're there for a reason. They're not just there because they decided it looked good. Put this after a sentence, right? You have to really know that's grammar 101. What those mean, because that changes the whole verse.
Right.
That changes the whole verse.
It sure does.
I've been in the church now 6 years, and just looking up the definition of rudiments changed that whole verse for me. And I've read this verse 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's heavy, man. That's why, like, you know, I was telling you that I was preparing the class last night, then I got a little tired. I said I prepared in the morning. And then it's like I get to this point where, like, you know, I pray before I do a class so that, you know, the Spirit can kind of move me, because I want to make sure I'm not just trying to pair together precepts. I'll sit there and I'll read verses that I've read before, and when I think of it in context of what I'm trying to bring out of it, like all of a sudden I get to like a point. I guess I would relate it to like when you're running or working out and you get into the zone. I get into like a spiritual zone and I get flooded with all these scriptures, and then I'm like inundated. So like, you know, I have like all these scriptures written down and all over the place, and it's like sometimes I got to refocus because I'll find myself reading, right, a verse, right, or I'll search for a verse pertinent to what I want with the word that I'm looking for. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, yeah, let me read this chapter. And then before I know it, I'm like, so now ideas for other classes are coming out, other things are coming out.
Right.
And I'm like, man,
right.
I got to temper this because this thing will, like, take you all over the place. I'm telling you, that's why it's like you got to feed your spirit, man. Like,
So you turn into Frank the Tank from the movie Old School when he, like, blacks out and starts bringing out all this knowledge.
Yeah, bro. I freak out, and it's, like, all this stuff coming out, and it's, like, or like, A Beautiful Mind. I have all these equations all over, like,
right.
A boy. So I got all these scriptures all over the place, and then I lose track of where I want to place them and stuff like that. And I'm like, damn, man. I'm like, yo, you want to talk about really feeding your soul and your spirit. Those other things don't do that. You know, if you think about it, the Christmas spirit is a very carnal feeling. It's not something that takes you. So I guess the point I'm trying to make when I say, like, how the scriptures take you kind of all over the place in that is that the feeling that I get in prepping a class, it opens up my hunger. It's like when you taste something good, you want more. And, like, I yearn to sit there, and I'm like, yo, I got to go over this stuff some more. I know I've went over this before, but now as I'm looking at it in this context – and Christmas doesn't do that. Those worldly holidays don't do that.
Nope.
It's a surface vibe. It's like a feeling. That's how you know it's carnal. It's a surface vibe, and it's not deeper. It doesn't elicit anything for you to bring you closer to the Lord.
Nope.
You know, it's all feel good type of stuff. You know, it goes back to where I think, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, we brought out, you know, lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. And when you bring out, and as we're going to bring out today, kind of, you know, some of the origins of this stuff and everything, you'll see that's going to be more profound. When it says that they're lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, it's heavy. I wanted to bring something out. Give me 2 Corinthians 5:17. You cannot meld things that are old with the new, right? We're talking about how, you know, teach your children, Deuteronomy 6, you know, teach your children diligently at all times. You know, Colossians 2 and 8 are those philosophies, those rudiments, those imperfect, incomplete things of the world as compared to the perfectness of Christ. And many people prefer to know Christ. They say Christmas is Christ's birthday. But when you read this verse, once you've learned this, you can't continue to celebrate and keep those things. You're a liar then. There's no truth in you. Okay, read this.
This is the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ.
Anybody who's professing or claiming to be in Christ, all right, read.
He is a new creature.
You have to be a new creature. Go ahead.
Old things are passed away.
All those old things, all those rudiments of men, all those things that are rooted in the world, when you come to the proper understanding in the scriptures, and like when we get to the, when we bring out how Christ was born in the spring, so now we've taken your whole ideology, right, and proven that it's a lie, but then you're going to continue to keep it, then you're not a new creature, then you're not in Christ. It says old things are passed away. Go ahead.
Behold, all things are become new.
All things are become new. So you have to leave those things behind. This is what it means to be born again.
Right.
You can't meld the things of this world. This is why he's saying beware, because those things of this world will try to creep in, and it'll try to be paired with Christ, which is what the whole Christmas holiday was about.
Right.
All right? And we'll read that in a moment. I'll let y'all.
You're the spirit cat, because literally just a week ago I was having a conversation with somebody, and they asked me what I was doing for Christmas, and I kept it simple and said I don't celebrate Christmas because it's pagan, you know. 5 years ago, I would have blasted him. And then so he says, well, how was that? And then I gave him this scripture and the one in Colossians 2, verse 8. And I let him know it's absolutely impossible to say that you're a follower of Christ or believe on Christ if you celebrate Christmas.
Right. So, like, you got your job, right? People tell you, hey,
right.
You know, have a good Christmas or whatever. So I got a couple ways to handle that. For those on listening that may not know, you know. That is, scripture says, Christ said, wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, right? So sometimes I'll tell them, oh, well, thank you, but I don't celebrate that. I'll leave it at that. You know, if they want to know more, I'll be like, oh, well, I follow the Bible. It's not in the Bible, and I'll leave it at that. Or I'll just say, hey, okay, enjoy your holiday.
Yep, that's the way I do it.
I usually just say thank you. Like, it depends on the context there.
No need to stop battling with anybody. I mean,
right.
You got to get some point you got to use wisdom.
Yeah, I'm at the gym the other day, right? So I'm doing my work and I'm resting between sets. You know, and there's people that, like, you know, you just see the same people there. So, you know, cordially you acknowledge. There's people, like, when I drop my daughter off to school, like, you know, they've noticed me at the
people
school
at the
and the gym.
Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru.
Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru, which, hey, let me tell you, be friends with Mammon, because the other day I went to get my donut, and she was like, that's all you have it? She goes, here's two, don't worry about it. I was like,
yeah,
because she know me as a regular.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't always get donuts, I always get coffee.
Right.
So, you know, but anyway, I digress. So she, you know, so she taps me on the shoulder because I usually see her when I drop my daughter off. Her kid's in kindergarten. My daughter's in kindergarten, and she was like, "Hey, Merry Christmas or whatever." And I was like, "You know, in my younger days, I would have stopped and like broke the whole thing down to her and say I don't celebrate." I was ready to start my next set. I was like, "Oh, thank you." And I just kept, I went back and was doing my set, you know, because, and I was laughing as I was doing the set because I thought about my younger self in this.
Right.
And I was like, man, I would have started, got there and the people would look at you like you're crazy and you're
radical.
Weird.
Yeah. Exactly.
You listen, it's like, remember when the scripture says, your word seasoned with salt, you got to know, like when you're cooking, there's a reference with that. You got to know how much salt to put and how much not to, right? So that you're there. So what's it going to profit me to explain to her that I don't celebrate at that point? And then what? So I can sit there and say, yeah.
Days over,
I told
man.
Her.
Check.
Them days
yeah.
are over, man.
Checking the box.
You know? Now it's different if, like, family keeps, and it's like, you know, 10 years I'm in this walk, you know, Lord's will I endure, and it's more. And they're coming up, and they're trying to wish me Merry Christmas. So then I might take the time and just be like, yo, like.
No. The only time that I go out of my way now when it comes to, like, birthdays or taking holidays is when my non-believing family says, I know you don't celebrate Christmas, but I just want to let you know Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that's like, yo, then like, don't, you should have stopped that. I know you don't know celebrate Christmas.
They know what's up. That's
right.
You should have stopped that when you were thinking of saying, I know you don't celebrate Christmas.
Right.
Yeah.
I want you to know that I'm thinking about you on this day.
So let me read a little bit. I'll start from here. I'm going to start, actually, there's more sources, right? I'm going to start on Wikipedia, right? And some people, it's not a source, but a lot of people go here, right? And they cite sources. So if you don't like Wikipedia because, you know, people can edit, you can actually go to the actual source that they cite.
People don't like it, but, I mean, it got me through college. So.
It's academia. They have, like, these standards of peer-reviewed and stuff like that.
I get it.
So it says, Christmas is an annual festival commemorating the birth of Jesus Christ. Observed most commonly on December 25th as a religious and cultural celebration among billions of people around the world. A feast central to the Christian liturgical year, it is preceded by the season of Advent or the Nativity fast and initiates the season of Christmastide. So you see all the different philosophies, right, and vain deceit that's mentioned in here already, right, which historically in the West lasts 12 days. This is where you get the 12 days of Christmas from, the Christmastide.
Right.
And culminates on the 12th night. In some traditions, Christmastides includes an octave. The traditional Christmas narrative, the Nativity of Jesus, delineated in the New Testament, says that Jesus was born in Bethlehem in accordance with Messianic prophecies. When Joseph and Mary arrived in the city, they had no room, and so they were offered a stable where the Christ child was soon born, with angels proclaiming this news to shepherds who then disseminated the message furthermore. Christmas Day is a public holiday in many of the world's nations and is celebrated religiously by a majority of Christians, as well as a culturally by many non-Christians, and forms an integral part of the holiday season. So the culturally part is the traditions of men,
mm-hmm.
all right? The part where it says that it's religious by a majority of Christians, that's the philosophies,
right?
All right? So there's some who it's a philosophy, not a religion. When they say they celebrate it religiously, you have to look past that, and we've gone over the definition of religion. It means that they've taken that. We've gone over how politics is a religion, atheism is a religion in its own way. Anything that you're beholden to as your guide and compass is basically your religion there, right?
Right.
So it's telling you there that some celebrate philosophy and some, all right, many non-Christians informs as an integral part of the, so it says culturally. That's talking about traditions when it says that there, all right? And it forms an integral part of the holiday season. This is why people who can't keep it or keep it the way they're accustomed to, they're freaking killing themselves.
Right,
over
exactly.
Day. All right? Although the month and date of Jesus' birth are unknown, by the earlier, and this article contradicts itself because later it talks about, right, as we get down to, by the early to mid-4th century, the Western Christian Church had placed Christmas on December 25th. So they figured, we don't know it, so let's go ahead and we're going to make it December 25th.
Right.
in the Gregorian calendar, which has been adopted almost universally in the civil calendars used in countries throughout the world. However, some Eastern Christian churches celebrate Christmas on December 25th of the older Julian calendar, which currently corresponds to January 7th in the Gregorian calendar. The day after the Western Christian Church celebrates the... So it's confusion even within that. This is why it tells you it's rudiments, because it's incomplete. They don't fully understand this. All right? Not to mention that Christ never said, hey, celebrate my birthday.
That's the other point that I've been dying to bring.
Not to mention that Book of Job, his kids got killed.
For celebrating birthdays. Their birthdays. Yes, and he tried to seek forgiveness for them when he saw that.
If this is not Babylon the great whore that sitteth on many waters, I don't know what is. I mean, what the hell does Christmas and Santa Claus got to do with Moabites over in China?
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing that comes out of that, right? So it's like you didn't even get to Santa yet, you know? So and the wickedness and that. So it says this is not a disagreement over the date of Christmas as such, but rather a preference of which calendar should be used to determine the date that is December 25th.
None of those calendars. We didn't have calendars.
Moreover, for Christians, the belief that God came into the world in the form of a man to atone for the sins of humanity, rather than the exact birth date, is considered to be the primary purpose in celebrating Christmas. The celebratory customs associated in various countries of Christmas have a mix of pre-Christian, Christian, and secular themes and origins. So it's telling you it's a mishmash of all types of traditions. All right. This is why, again, rudiments, a partial, incomplete, and in order to complete it, they Frankenstein this holiday,
right,
and they take pieces from other different pagan origins.
Yeah. Give me John 14, verse 15, because that's the other thing. People will say, well, it's Christ's birthday. And then if you bring out the point where, well, it's pagan to celebrate birthdays, that's a whole different topic right there. But they'll say, well, it's us to give honor and glory to Christ for being born because he came into the earth.
You know how you give honor and glory to Christ?
Right here. He's going to read it.
This is the book of John, chapter 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments.
That's how you glorify Christ in your everyday life, by keeping his commandments.
Right. And he didn't command you to keep Christmas.
Exactly. It's that simple.
Popular modern customs of the holiday include gift giving, completing an Advent calendar or Advent wreath, Christmas music and caroling, lighting a Christingle, viewing a nativity play, an exchange of Christmas cards, church services, a special meal, and a display of various Christmas decorations, including Christmas trees, Christmas lights, nativity scenes, garlands, wreaths, mistletoe, and holly. In addition, several closely related and often interchangeable figures known as Santa Claus, Father Christmas, St. Nicholas, and Christkind are associated with bringing gifts to children during the Christmas season and have their own body of traditions and lore.
Mm-hmm. Lore.
No, and now the word traditions comes out.
Yeah, lore.
I'll go to Colossians 2 and 8 again, bro, because I don't know how you can't see that this is I do know how you can't see. I do. You don't understand how you can't see. I understand how you can't see. Go ahead.
It's the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit.
Go ahead.
After the tradition of men.
And it's telling you here, the Christmas season have their own body of traditions and lore. That's why you have all this different variability. I didn't even get to Black Pete yet, okay?
Swap Pete?
Yeah, Swasta Pete or something like that.
Yeah, Swasta means black in Germany,
yes,
or Dutch or something like that.
That's all I wanted to add. Because gift giving and many other aspects of the Christmas festival involve heightened economic activity, the holiday has become a significant event and a key sales period for retailers and business.
That's what it's really all about at the end of the day.
It's telling you right there that it's all about money.
The economic impact of Christmas has grown steadily over the past few centuries in many regions of the world. You're talking about hundreds of years of build-up of, hey, this is when we make our nut, basically. We're going to make our money here. Etymology. Christmas is a shortened form of Christ's Mass. It is derived from the Middle English Christmas, which is from Old English Christemasse, a phrase first recorded in 1038, followed by the word Christus Messe in 1131. Christ, genitive Christus, is a form of Greek, a translation of Hebrew Messiah, meaning anointed, and Mass in Latin Misa, the celebration of the Eucharist. The form Christmas was also historically used, but is now considered archaic and dialectal. It derives from Middle English Christmas Mass. Xmas is an abbreviation of Christmas, found particularly based on the initial letter Chi, X. Greek Christ, its use. So they don't like when you do Xmas because, right, keep the Christ in Christmas. It has precedent in Middle English. All right. other names. In addition to Christmas, the holiday season has been known by various other names throughout its history. The Anglo-Saxons referred to the feast as midwinter, or more rarely as Natulateo, Nativus, Nativity, meaning birth, is from Latin Nativus. So they celebrate the Anglo-Saxons, in other words, like us, another word for Edom, Caucasians, all right, in death, right, because winter's all about death, they deem that birth. In Old English, Yule, because you've heard Yuletide, mm-hmm. referred to the period corresponding to December and January, which was eventually equated with Christian Christmas.
Yep, Yule log.
Mm-hmm. Noel entered English in the late 14th century from the Old French Noel or Noël, itself ultimately from the Latin Natus, dies, meaning birthday. So the word means death, but they put it as birthday. Well, I'm telling you, it's confusion and it's rudiments, so they've pieced together this
go.
Holiday.
That's what it is, rudiments.
It's rudiments. I'm not going to read about the nativity. Let me see. Okay, choice of December 25th date. So they're telling you they chose to make this date. In the 3rd century, the day of birth of Jesus was the subject of both great interest and great uncertainty. I don't know why. The scripture kind of gives you an idea. All right. Around AD 200, Clement of Alexandria wrote, "There are those who have determined not only the year of our Lord's birth, but also the day. And they say that it took place in the 28th year of Augustus, and in the 25th day of the Egyptian month, Pachan, May 20th. Further, others say that he was born on the 24th or 25th of Farmudi, which is April 20th or 21st. In other writing of this time, May 20th, April 18th or 19th, March 25th, January 2nd, November 17th, and November 20th are all suggested. Various factors contribute to the selection of December 25th as a date of celebration. It was the date of the winter solstice on the Roman calendar. It was about 9 months after March 25th, the date of the vernal equinox, and a date linked to the conception of Jesus. So they're telling you that they know he was born in the spring, but they all decided to settle on this, right? So December 25th was the date of the winter solstice on the Roman calendar. Jesus chose to be born on the shortest day of the year for symbolic reasons, according to an early Christmas sermon by Augustine. Hence it is that he was born on the day which is the shortest in our earthly reckoning, and which subsequent days begin to increase in length. He therefore, who bent low and lifted us up, shortest day, yet the one whence light begins to increase. So see how they're trying to make it fun meeting, they're trying to push it together with something. Linking Jesus to the sun was supported by various biblical passages, and I mean the sun as S-U-N is what it says. Jesus was considered to be the son of righteousness, prophesied by Malachi, "Until you shall the son of righteousness arise and healing in his wings." John describes Jesus as the light of the world. Such solar symbolism could support more than one date of birth. An anonymous work known as the Pascha Computus linked the idea that creation began at the spring equinox on March 25th with the conception of birth of Jesus on March 28th. So it's telling you it's going all into this sun god, winter stuff, all this other stuff. So hold on. They have hypotheses and stuff here. There was a piece here that I wanted to read that really stood out. Introduction of Feast. Okay, as Christmas was unknown to the early Christian writers, it must have been introduced sometime after 300. Irenaeus and Tertullian omit it from their list of feasts, and Origen writes that in the scriptures, sinners alone, not saints, celebrate their birthday. Arnobius can still ridicule the birthdays of the gods, the first recorded Christmas celebrations. So get that in Job about the birthdays. So first, let's deal with that first as we go through this, all right?
It said sinners alone celebrate birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Sinners alone celebrate birthdays. So let's start to deal with the birth piece of this, all right? Which one are you getting?
104.
Start in the houses. Everyone is... Yes, okay.
This is the book of Job, chapter 1 and verse 4. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day.
So it's telling you every one his day, meaning they were celebrating their day. It's talking about birthdays. That's why he says every one his day. So every son celebrated his particular day. Go ahead.
And sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them.
Go ahead.
And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about,
when they were done celebrating their birthdays,
that Job went and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all.
Go ahead.
For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned.
Birthdays are sin. Celebrating your birthday is a sin. Job knew this, so he had to go. And what the scripture tells you, read verse 1.
Thank you. I was going to say Job, verse 1.
Job, verse 1 and 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil.
So now read verse 5 with that understanding that Job was perfect and upright, meaning he knew right and wrong, okay? And when he found out that his sons and the sisters were celebrating their sons' birthdays, read verse 5 again.
5. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually.
So he knew that it was wrong. So this whole thing that it's Christ's birthday, Christ tells you multiple times in the New Testament that I come to do the will of my Father,
right,
not my will. This is because some people try to go, oh, Old New Testament, you're ignorant if you try to think that the New Testament negates the Old Testament. All right, because that's where everything comes from. There was no New Testament when Christ walked the earth. He was teaching the Old. What do you think when it talks about they were astounded that he knew letters and words and taught in the synagogues? Because he knew how to break down the Old Testament and make it relevant for them in that time.
That's right.
So don't come with that nonsense that was old. Job was perfect. And he walked upright and feared God. So he knew the difference between good and evil. And he knew celebrating birthdays was evil. You think if celebrating his birthdays is evil, Christ is going to command you to celebrate his birthday? Nobody even knows what his birthday is, it tells you. There's debate over that stuff. We don't even know the exact day. We know around what time based on the scriptures, and we'll get to that in a moment. All right? So how? You don't think he would give you a day just like he did with all the other high holy days and say, this many days after this new moon, celebrate my son's birthday?
Right. And I'm glad that you had brought that out about how he said that he didn't come to do his will but the will of his Father. Because in the New Testament, it gives you the order: God, Christ, man, woman. So never,
right.
So never would Christ glorify himself over his Father by saying, "Celebrate the day of my birth."
Right, right. Hold on, let's get that. That's in John. Is it John 5?
About what
it says?
5:30.
Yep.
I want that. Let's see what we're talking about. Call in numbers 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797. How are we looking on the live broadcast?
Doing good.
Okay. Nobody, no questions coming?
No questions. Just, shalom.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
This is the book of John, chapter 5, verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing, own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me.
He said he can of his own self do nothing. The officer brought out in 1 Corinthians 11, it says God, then Christ. So it's telling you that Christ doesn't have authority to change anything.
You know
that was
that
not
says?
The will of his Father.
Right, you know what else that says? That God and Christ ain't one. Like some people
yeah,
believe.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the other thing. Trinity.
There's not one good but God.
That's right. That's right.
You know what's funny is that there's so many scriptures to prove that they're two separate people, but yet they lean on what, one or two scriptures say no. It says that I and my Father are one. It drives me insane. Absolutely insane. It's very simple. We glorify the Lord by keeping his commandments. That's how we give honor and reverence to him, is by walking in the laws and the faith of him. Not by choosing a day, just like Captain brought out, that no one even knows what day it was. So they said, you know what, let's make it this day. And you know what? The other thing, Christ was... It would be impossible for him to be born in the dead of winter when everything's dead in the earth, because the whole purpose of Christ coming was to give new life into the earth, give new life back to the nation of Israel.
Yeah, and in history they talk about that, but then they tell you he's born around a time when it's dead. So
right.
It's like it don't make any sense. Go to Luke 2 and 8, and then we're going to jump to 41 and 42. Christmas does not commemorate the birth of Jesus Christ, because commemorating the birth is sin, all right? And Christ was born in the springtime. Read Luke 2 and 8.
This is the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
All right, so if it's the dead of winter, shepherds are not abiding in the
That's
field,
right.
okay? They're not keeping watch over their flocks at night. I mean, it's so obvious, all right? Jump down to verse 41.
Verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover.
So it's telling you Christ's parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. Go ahead.
And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast.
The feast of the Passover. So it's telling you he was 12 years old. That means he was born around this time. It was the springtime, okay? Because every year around that time, they've just gave you a little glimpse into when Christ's birth was. And it was not in December. It was not in the dead of winter. All right? It makes no sense.
Hey, they call Christ the first fruits, right?
Right.
Fruits don't blossom only
right.
in the spring.
Right.
Nothing blossoms
yep.
in the winter.
You're right about that.
We have a Bible dictionary in here?
We do?
All right. This is the book of Deuteronomy 16, verse 1. And give me the definition of a bib to just further prove that Christ was born around spring.
That's another. That's yeah. Bring it out, bro.
Because it said that they had went up to keep the Passover. So let's go back and see when the Passover is observed. Deuteronomy 16, verse 1. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. So now let's get the definition of Abib.
That's why they call Christ the new Passover. When he come back and redeem us from this captivity, same exact thing as it happened there as well when he took us out of Egypt.
This is the Zondervan Compact Bible Dictionary. A bib, an ear of corn. The pre-existing name for the first month of the year after the exile of the name was changed to Nisan.
So, hold on one second. So, first month of the year, right? First month of the year. So, does it say January there?
It does not.
You can't grow corn in January either.
I got you. I'm going to read that.
Go ahead.
It says, it fell about the time of our March and early April.
So, a bib, which means ear of corn, because like the cat brought out, you can't grow corn in the dead of winter. All right. So, his parents went to go keep the Feast of Passover. At the same time, he turned 12 years old, which is around our March to April, springtime, when new life comes back into the earth.
First fruits.
Right. So we've established that is not his birthday, right? So what is it really celebrating? It says December 25th was chosen to correspond with both the Roman festival of Saturnalia in honor of Saturn, all right? The god Saturn, that's what they call it, and winter solstice, which we read, a.k.a. also known as Sol Invictus, the unconquered sun. Get me Exodus 20 and 3. For those who talk about, oh, there's no laws, but they're into the commandments, though, right? Let's read that real quick. And then also Psalms 96 and 5 ready.
This is the book of Exodus, chapter 20 and verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Have no other gods before me. So knowing and understanding that this is the celebration, okay, of Saturn, of pagan origins, okay, you're putting that before the Most High. Guess Psalms 96 and 5?
Right, you're celebrating the sun.
Mm-hmm.
The sun god.
Yep.
Idols.
The book of Psalms, chapter 96 and verse 5. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
Okay, all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Celebrating Christmas is honoring the Roman sun god and Saturnalia. So real quick, a little bit about Saturnalia. It was an ancient Roman festival in honor of the god Saturn, held on December 17th of the Julian calendar and later expanded through December 23rd. So remember, they tell you they just expanded and added this
right.
stuff to that, all right? And it says the holiday was celebrated with a sacrifice at the temple of Saturn in the Roman Forum and a public banquet followed by private gift-giving. Continual partying and a carnival atmosphere that overturned Roman social norms, meaning homosexuality,
right.
Pedophilia,
bestiality,
yeah. all that stuff like that. Okay. So it says gambling was permitted and masters provided table service for their slaves. All right. This is how they got you old because this is the time of year where even, you know, the slaves got to you a little bit, right? Mm. The poet Catullus called it the best of days. Mm. It's the season. It's my favorite time of year.
You know what? They did the same thing to our people when we were in slavery. Well, we're still in slavery, but I'm talking about in the physical bondage when they said, okay, on Sundays, you can have a few hours off. That way you can go worship white Jesus. It's the same thing back then.
Right.
Keep this pagan holiday. And
keep
then,
the traditions
and
man.
Right. So it says, the statue of Saturn at his main temple normally had its feet bound in wool, which was moved for the holiday as an act of liberation. The official rituals were carried out according to Greek rite. Sacrifice was officiated by a priest whose head was uncovered. In Roman rite, priests sacrifice capite velato with head covered by a special fold of toga. The procedure is usually explained by Saturn's assimilation with his Greek counterpart Cronus. So again, it's all pagan origins. It's all madness.
But it's for the kids.
Mm-hmm. And
even after all that, it's still for the kids.
Still for the kids. And it's funny because I'm driving down the roads out here and I see pine trees are in front of people's houses or trees with like balls, right? Like, little did they realize that those balls, because it was out there in Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom houses, were our heads that were cut off.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
That they would hang.
Yeah,
you're going to go over there, right?
Talk about the good. Slavery piece and the origins, because there's Egyptian origin. Remember, there's no one source for Christmas.
Right. Romans just didn't create it. That's just how they interpreted it.
We read that when we were reading the origins of Christmas.
That's all right.
And they tell you that it's a lot of elements that made this one holiday that all happened more or less around the same time. So they said, hey, let's do this. You read another excerpt from I can't remember exactly what the source is, and it talks about that Constantine and his attempt to try to meld the paganism beliefs with the influx of Christianity and people trying to become Christians. Just decided to say, hey, we don't got to do away with those customs. Let's go ahead and just, you know, put them together with Christmas.
But then that's why the word rudiment works so well in that scripture.
Yeah. So, look, it says many popular customs associated with Christmas developed independently of the commemoration of Jesus' birth. So telling you that to slap Jesus' birth on there was an afterthought. All these customs that are associated with it developed independently, with certain elements having origins in pre-Christian festivals that were celebrated around the winter solstice by pagan populations who were later converted to Christianity. All right? This is where you get the origins of this stuff from. All right? Gift-giving. December 19th was a day of gift-giving with Saturnalia because gifts of value would mark social status. Mm. Contrary to the spirit of the season, these were often the pottery or wax figurines called sigillaria, especially for the day. Candles or gag gifts, of which Augustus was particularly fond. Children received toys as gifts. In his many poems about the Saturnalia, Marshall names both expensive and quite cheap gifts, including writing tablets, dice, knuckle bones, money boxes, combs, toothpicks, a hat, a hunting knife, an axe, various lamps, balls, perfumes, pipes,
yo, knuckle bones?
A sausage, a parrot, tables, cups, spoons, items of clothing, statues, masks, books, and pets. Gifts might be as costly as a slave or exotic animal.
So you got to bring that out.
But Marshall suggests that token gifts of low intrinsic value inversely measure the high quality of a friendship. Mm-hmm. So it's all status, appearance, right? And it's that spirit is there today. The obligation of giving a gift.
Right.
And depending on who it is, it's something with meaning or something extravagant. And if it's just obligatory, some people just get like whatever. Right?
Well, it even said gag gifts.
Yes. Patrons or bosses might pass along a gratuity to their poorer clients. So that whole thing about tipping on the holidays, mm-hmm. again, roots in Roman paganism, okay? To their poorer clients or dependents to help them buy gifts. Some emperors were noted for their devoted observance of the sigillaria. In a practice that might be compared to modern greeting cards, verses sometimes accompanied the gifts. Marshall has a collection of poems written as if to be attached to gifts. Catullus received the book of bad poems by the worst poet of all times as a joke from a friend. Gift-giving was not confined to the day of the Sigillaria. In some households, guests and family members received gifts after the feast in which slaves had shared. So, slavery associated with this. I got a little excerpt here from this excellent flyer that we have on Christmas. And it has a little thing here, and it tells you the date. So it says, for sale, a Negro woman, 21 years old, and her daughter, about 6 years old. The woman is a good house servant, plain cook, and good washer and ironer, warranted sound, terms cash. Advertisements for the Macon Daily Telegraph, the 24th, 1860. They are advertising around that time to exchange gifts. Slaves were bought and given away as gifts. We just read it now. From one slave master to the next, slaves were made to carry Christmas trees, Yule logs, along with keeping the house merry with entertainment.
Merry. You gotta
they required of us a song. Can you get
yeah,
that?
Get yeah, get that, please. Psalm 137.
Yeah, and you go into Revelation, too.
That was heavy.
Yeah, about Revelation 18 about the gifts.
How it said
11 and 11 and 10.
How it said how the emperors or whoever would give money. It's the same thing today. You got these businesses that give their employees what
bonuses, holiday bonuses,
same thing,
stuff like that.
Back then it was emperors and whoever was getting tricked from everybody else, rich, so then they gave some of it back. Same thing today. All these people busting their tails for the Fortune 500 companies, and then they're getting hushed because they got a Christmas bonus.
Right. Go ahead, read that. Psalms.
The book of Psalms, chapter 37, verse 3. For there are they that carried us away, captive.
Captive, slaves, okay.
Required of us a song.
Required of us a song. Where do you think that tradition of caroling and all that really comes up from, all right? It's the slaves. We just read that. It said that they're tasked with keeping the house merry. Okay, go ahead.
And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying.
Mirth, right? Did we just read that? It says in some households, guess if it, no, over here. That's the, it used the word about Mary. Mary is mirth, okay? Hold on. It says slaves were made to carry Christmas trees and Yule logs, along with keeping the house merry with entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Mary is mirth. That's what Merry Christmas comes, right? So they required mirth. Go ahead.
Saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?
All right, so it's telling you there, sing us one of the songs of Zion as like a mockery, right? So because it's like, ha, 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 you know. Yeah, a lot of the songs of Zion had to deal with our salvation, okay, about us being captives and being taken out of that stuff. So to them, they were like, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm about to, the new slave that I just got from my slave friend down the road. Yeah, come here. And it was more than that because, you know, they used to sexually abuse them, torture them. How do you think that Esau has all this understanding of the human body and stuff like that? You think they were sacrificing and cutting their own people open? They weren't going to wait till somebody died. They did all these types of cruel experiments on our people and stuff. And it started with exchanging each other as gifts and stuff.
Oh, we had a comment. It says in the Spanish Bible, Luke 2, verse 42, it says when Jesus cumplió, which means his birthday.
His birthday.
So even in the Spanish Bible,
yeah, they're letting you know. Yeah, so they're letting you know that it's his birthday. So in other words,
thank you, brother. Thank you for that.
In other words,
dang,
his birthday is around the time of Passover sometimes.
And Spanish Bible be jacking stuff up. They got that one on point.
Yeah, I guess.
Can I get this one in Revelation real quick?
Yeah.
As well?
Yep.
This is the book of Revelation 11 and verse 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another. Because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth.
All right, so the two prophets there is talking about the northern and the southern kingdom. We tormented Esau. Okay, so what they did, exactly what the captain was bringing out, man. They made it was very for them when they sold us, okay, into slavery, and they sold us as gave us as gifts to their friends. Mm. You see that in Goodbye, Uncle Tom.
Oh, yep. Yeah, that little the clip.
Yeah,
with the girl.
Yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah. She got the Judah brother,
the
you know,
leash,
or the Israelite young man
on the leash,
on
yeah,
a leash, man, a rope. You also saw that in. Did you see that also in the Django? No, not the Django. What was the one in 12 Years
it's
a Slave?
It's Django. The
Deus
Silence. In 12 Years a Slave. 12 Years a Slave, man. Remember, it was the same exact thing. They had Nat Turner. Nat Turner was a gift for the Edomite.
That's right.
You're right.
Remember that?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Hey, it feels like a sun here. My water's evaporating. It's like steam.
It is a little warm. Yeah. It is a little warm.
Well, you're like freaking layered up.
Well, because it's freezing outside, but
actually, it's above freezing. It's 48. But for Arizonans, it's freezing.
Yeah, yeah. That's that New York.
Yeah, my car, man, the battery didn't want to turn over this morning.
Hey, mine too for a minute.
Yours
too? It took a little.
I just bought that battery. You know
no,
that.
It wasn't real long, but it took. Normally, I get a groan.
Yeah.
It was like, jur.
Yeah.
I said, whoa.
I was like, this is crazy.
I said, it's cold out here, bro. It's cold.
Good thing we ain't got a shovel snow.
Hey, dead of winter, but there were shepherds in the field.
Bro, I've been in Iraq, right? Or what they call the Middle East, in summer when it's 120 degrees, and
yep.
I've been there in winter when it's negative degrees. And I didn't see not one damn sheep or nothing. You don't see that stuff.
Hey, even the 29 palms, man. Not even the fox, the right. Coyotes come out,
nothing.
Bro.
There's nothing out there.
They get cold, 29 palms, man. Mm-hmm. Out there by Camp Wilson, that thing be freezing.
516-531-9797. 516-531-9797 is the call-in number. The pagan roots of Christmas run deep. The real origins of Christmas goes back to ancient Babylon. It is bound up in the organized apostasy with which Satan has gripped the deceived world these many centuries. In Egypt, it was always believed that the son of Iris, Egyptian name for Queen of Heaven, was born December 25th. Semiramis also bore the title Queen of Heaven, and she was Nimrod's mother. Paganism celebrated this famous birthday over most of the known world for centuries before the birth of Christ. All right? This is from a book, The Plain Truth About Christmas, by David J. Stewart. All right? It tells you, remember we spoke about the Anglo-Saxons, Santa Claus is really Thor, all right? You have the Egyptian customs with dealing with Nimrod. Nimrod started a great organized worldly apostasy from God that has dominated this world until now. So you're still keeping those. People tell you, that's why I tell you, the devil comes to you until you worship him. Most people, because you actually got weirdos that will say, yes, I want to worship the devil. You have those groups.
Yeah.
You're not going to do it. So it comes to you in disguise, right? And anything that's contrary to God is really in service to Satan, basically, because it leads to death.
Right,
because
if you think about it, right, Satan, which we know wasn't a snake, mm-hmm. came to Eve, right?
Right.
And then Eve came to Adam, right? How did she come to him? With the spirit of Satan on her.
Right. Remember, the first, when Christ talks about the first and second great commandments, all right, he says the first is have no other gods. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. And he said the second is like unto the first, because it's still doing the Lord's will, which is love your neighbor as thyself.
That's right.
So love your neighbor as yourself is not the only one. He said there's two. And when you encompass that and you decide to worship these things that God never commanded you to do, and I say decide because it's a choice, all right? And especially when understanding comes out about keeping these customs, these false customs, all right? I don't see how any Gadite can celebrate this, because, you know, I mean, their joy on Christmas, and by them, I mean Esau, who the world
so ignorantly calls the so-called white man.
So ignorantly calls the white man or the Caucasian man.
Or the Anglo-Saxons.
Okay? Under the guise of manifest destiny, all right, when they took over, they killed a tribe, or they had some success in taking the land from you, it was a Merry Christmas based on stuff like that.
Hey, man, you guys better wake up, you so-called Native Americans, man.
So Nimrod started the greater organized worldly apostasy from God that has dominated this world until now. Nimrod married his own mother, whose name was Semiramis. After Nimrod's death, his so-called mother wife, Semiramis, propagated the evil doctrine of the survival of Nimrod as a spirit being. She claimed a full-grown evergreen tree sprang overnight from a dead tree stump. This is where the origins of the tree come from,
mm-hmm.
which symbolized the springing forth unto new life of the dead Nimrod. On each anniversary of his birth, she claimed, Nimrod would visit the evergreen tree and leave gifts upon it. December 25th was the birthday of Nimrod. This is the real origin of the Christmas tree. Again, from the book The Plain Truth About Christmas by David J. Stewart. And there's a whole bunch of different deities and stuff here. Can we get Jeremiah 10?
Yeah, another good book, The Two Babylons. It talks about that also.
Yep. I tell you, I got so many good books, but like I never get to read them.
I was telling them the other day, I have The Two Babylons, and I've never...
Little pieces here and there. You know, I don't get to read them all. Just
feel guilty when I sit down and read too much of it at one time.
Yeah, because then you're like, damn, I could be reading the scripts.
The balance. Balance. All
right. Go ahead and read Jeremiah 10.
Start with verse 1.
Sure.
This is the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, and verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen.
This is Colossians 2 and 8. When he says learn not the way of the heathen, that's Colossians 2 and 8. All right, go ahead.
And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them.
This goes back to... you know, the original sin of idolatry and dealing with astrology, okay, and things like that. It says, don't be dismayed at these different signs of the heavens. They try to tell you the North Star mm-hmm. and all this other stuff, all right, which we know really was a chariot guiding
people. Or even this, the celebrating of Saturn.
Right, the celebrating of Saturn, okay, or the sun god.
Right.
All it is relevant to that. It says, be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them.
And they're dismayed because when we read in Psalms 96, verse 5, that their gods are all idols. Like, those things are there for them.
Right, right. You read that. Is it Deuteronomy 4, I think, where he says, it's in Deuteronomy. If it's not 4, it's 24, I think. It's something around there. Where it says all these other things were made for the other nations.
Right.
All
right?
That wasn't made for Israel. This is why you start Jeremiah 10. He says, hear ye the word of the Lord, speak unto you, house of Israel. All right? Dealing with you so-called natives, Latins, blacks. All right? American Indians, whatever you want to call yourself by these days, all right? That's what it's talking about. Those are the things. The reason the heathen are dismayed at them is because it was made for them.
That's right.
Not for us. Go ahead.
For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a...
I'm telling you, that's Colossians 2 and 8, because it tells you vain deceits. So it's telling you those philosophies, those vain deceits, those traditions of men, okay? It says those customs are vain. Now read... your Christmas here.
For one cut a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe.
This is what we said, where Semiramis claimed that a full-grown evergreen tree sprang overnight from a dead tree stump, which symbolized the springing forth unto new life of the dead Nimrod. Go ahead.
They deck it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not.
Now, some people, I've heard some people try to say, no, that's talking about, like, you know, saints and statues that you put up.
No.
That's what it's talking about. That's what they mean.
Silver and gold.
Bro,
silver and
gold. It doesn't say they carved it. It said they cut up a tree out of the forest, okay, with an axe, and then they deck it with silver and gold.
And what do they do?
Well, I remember years ago, there was somebody, Northern Kingdom, of course, all right? She was trying to claim that was talking about, like, putting up saints. I mean, that's evil as hell, too.
I'll say, okay, let's say...
It clearly says tree.
It says tree.
All right, so that's the end of that discussion.
Go ahead, read on. They deck it with silver and gold.
They deck it with silver and with gold.
We read about the holly, the wreath, all this other stuff. Okay, go ahead.
They fasten it with nails and with hammers.
Right, so that it says that it stays upright. Go ahead.
That it move not.
That it move not.
What do we have modern days? We have that stand.
You have the stand.
Okay,
stand.
But that's how they held it back then, with nails and wood.
They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not.
Matter of fact, you also see palm trees, Cap, that have
they
the wood.
Them,
no,
they
no,
decorate.
That, and they have wood that holds them up.
Yeah, like the braces.
Yeah,
to brace it. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
They must needs be born.
Meaning, there's no power in that because you have to care for it.
Right.
If you don't water it, if you don't take care of it, the needles start to dry out. It starts to freaking crumble and fall apart. Go ahead.
Because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good.
So this claim of Semiramis that the spirit of Nimrod was in this is telling you that there's nothing, there's no power in it. Don't be afraid of those things. I mean, now, you know, some people look at that and they're like, oh, there's no way that I would. That's not the reason why I do it. But we've gone over all those steps up until this point.
It's all in the same vein. When it says that, don't be afraid of it, because the thought back then was if you didn't come bring gifts to put under the tree, that it would come alive and then it would attack you. So the way you're keeping that spirit keep going today is you're still putting sacrifices under that tree. It's the same exact thing.
Right.
Can I get a precept real quick?
Go ahead.
Give me Deuteronomy 7, verse 25. Because one of the other things is who can get the biggest tree? Who can decorate it the best?
You're right, right.
That's one of the other things.
Like Rockefeller Center, there's this big aura about that huge tree.
Right. That's one of the other things. Deuteronomy 7, verse 25.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, and verse 25. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire.
So we're supposed to burn that tree and everything that's associated with so-called Christmas anyways. Read on.
Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold.
Like how we read, how they deck it with silver and gold.
Is on them. Or take it unto thee, thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God.
So the Most High calls this custom and keeping the tree a snare because it's keeping our people in sin. And it says that it's an abomination. Read on. Verse 26.
Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house.
See that? Neither shall we bring that abomination into our house. We're not supposed to have Christmas trees set up in our house. Read on.
Lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it.
We shall utterly detest keeping that custom. Read on.
And thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing.
So So there it is. So the Most High God is letting you know that keeping the tradition of Christmas, keeping a Christmas tree, is an abomination to him.
Right, right. I'll take a look. Y'all keep talking.
Give me Revelations. Let's go back to Revelations 11 and verse 10. Revelations 11, verse 10.
The book of Revelation, chapter 11 and verse 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another.
So I wanted to go back to this real quick, just to make the point. Where when it says, and they that dwell upon the earth, they here in particular referring to the so-called white man, right? And the customs and the traditions that he uses to be snares and traps unto our people. Read on.
Because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth.
So now, since they're in rulership, right, now that they're ruling over everything, just like how it says, matter of fact, give me Psalms real quick. What is that? Psalms 64, where it talks about a diligent search. Christmas is part of the diligent search that was done by not just the Caucasian race, all right, who the Bible calls Edom, but all the other nations that are in cahoots with the Edomites to keep us in sin. Psalms 96 or 90 or 64, is it?
Yeah, 64.
Yeah, bring that out real quick. Because like how Captain brought out, it's a conglomerate of a lot of different ideologies and philosophies. It's not just one thing. It's not one person that sat down and said, okay, this is what Christmas is. It was over a whole history from ancient Egypt all the way until today that became what we know as so-called Christmas today. Read that.
The book of Psalms, chapter 64, and verse 5. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them?
It says they encourage themselves in an evil matter. So the Most High is letting you know that they're not coming together for the benefit of you so-called natives, Latin, and blacks, but to do you a disservice by keeping you in the midst of sin. It says they commune of laying snares privily, all right, laying these traps in private. Like how the captain said, Satan's not going to come to you and say, who is it? Satan, he don't work like that. He don't work like that. He comes under the disguise of being merry. It's Merry Christmas. It's for the kids.
Yeah, that's what it says privily.
That's what I mean, it says, who shall see them? Because even though we bring out not only the scriptures foremost, because that's what we stand on, but the history that backs that this is an evil pagan holiday, people are still going to say, nah, that's not true.
Hey, let me tell you something, and I'll give you a little personal perspective on this, right? Because, you know, I really don't – I don't name the names of my relatives, but I don't ever shy away from talking about my worldly family who refuses to repent, right? So they tend to be a topic sometimes coming up in the show. So it came to my attention that the unbelieving of my family have a sadness in their hearts because and it goes deeper than Christmas, but I'll start with Christmas, because my children are deprived from celebrating Christmas.
First off, real quick, I'm sorry to cut you off, Cap.
Go ahead.
I have seen how excited you guys' kids get when we celebrate the Feast of Dedication.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not missing out on anything.
Hey, not just dedication. Whenever I tell my daughter that we're going to the congregation, she says, oh, it's an Israelite party. She was telling me last night, she goes, you know, I don't like when I leave congregation. She goes, I like when we go and we're all together and whatever. You know, I had a I'm going to tell this wrong, and I hope it doesn't come out like the wrong way or anybody gets offended, but I guess my parents are something to me, and there's like a sister who had something came up, and there was a parent that asked one of their daughters, you know, who do they look up to that makes them feel real good about being an Israelite? And this mother's daughter, who's way older than my daughter, I think this daughter's like 10, 12, my daughter's like 5, going on 6,
mm-hmm.
said, my daughter. And she says, and she goes, she makes me feel like an Israelite princess. She goes, I see the way she is and how she carries herself and how she's just so genuinely happy to like be here with the congregation and stuff. And I was like, wow.
Oh,
I said, that's the power of like the example that like to embody that stuff. And, you know, I pray I never have to go through the thing where, and it's a possibility where I try not to think about it now because there's nothing I can do about it now, so I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I'm just going to do what the Lord says, raise my kids the way the Bible says to raise them, and then the rest is up to God. So I can rest easy knowing if I did everything that the Lord said I should do so that my kid doesn't go astray. And if they still do, then I have to rest in faith that that's what the Lord had ordained.
Right.
But to raise your kids in this the right way, you brought out, there's so many feast days. Like, my daughter cries when it's time to go home sometimes. I get annoyed. I got to be like, yo, will you stop it? No, I don't want to leave. I want to stay longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like being here. I like doing this. We have the great Sabbath curriculum. Like, you know, she loves being in the class and doing that stuff. She gets so excited to be around here. Like, you don't understand. Like, she's always telling me, yeah, we're having an Israelite party.
You know, speaking of Israelite parties, speaking of kids, because you brought up how your family, how it hurts their hearts that they're being deprived like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we got to do that much the more to ensure that we do bring up the Most High holy days.
Yeah, keep it in mirth, right? It says the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Right.
All right. And we need to be in that joy of the Lord. There's no sadness in, and listen, we have a day for that. It's called the Day of Atonement.
right? Exactly.
Where it's not kept with mirth and stuff. Right. All right. Even though my spirit is joyful in that we have that chance to do that day. That's symbolic to the Most High. All right. But the whole thing, here's the context that's totally forgotten of this. And this is the thing that annoys me the most about anybody, not just my family, that presumes to speak about what they know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's the same thing where the people say we're hate, all this other stuff like that, not fully knowing what we represent and what we do. All right. Which the Lord gave us the opportunity to smash that. All right. With the interview that I did, which incidentally they never aired because it was. There was nothing salacious about it.
Of course not.
All right. And I was direct and truthful. All right. The Spirit of the Lord guided me in what to say in that. And I did not shy away from pointing out that Christ is a black Messiah, that Christ is only for the Israelites, and that this is what the real issue is that people have with us. All right. It really stems from that. But they talk about what they don't know, and what they fail to realize is that my daughter was raised in this truth. So she doesn't know anything else. So she's not missing anything.
Right, exactly. That's the other.
She has no desire. Bro, you have to hear her. I was in the store the other day. These old people came up and they were like, are you ready for Santa? She looked at the old guy like this and she went, we don't celebrate Christmas. I was like, you know what? And it's like, I laughed and I'm with it. But it's also, I gotta realize that I'm training her for the world too. So I gotta start teaching her how to be tactful. But I love that. Yo, I don't have to coach her to that. I don't have to fear her into that.
Mm-hmm.
She just knows that's what it is. She knows that we don't do the birthdays and all that other stuff. And guess what? It doesn't bother her because I make her feel good every day. I encourage and make her feel special every day based on what? What God said.
No, right.
And I let her know that the Bible's what separates us. Sometimes she gets this thing where she's like, you know, she wants friends to go over from school and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know, hon, they don't keep commandments and stuff like that. In today's class, I'm going to go over kind of friendship again, but in a different vein. And we're going to talk about stuff like that. But it's like there, she's not missing anything from that. And then here's the other thing that comes out of that. So it comes to my attention that they're miserable because they have to wear ugly fringes. So my kids,
family's a trip, bro.
It's so cute. It's so cute. Their outfits, but then they got to put ugly fringes on them. So I'm burdening the kids by putting fringes on them. So the thing that God requires, the creator of everything, it goes to show you, this is why it burns me, and I got to check my spirit. I can understand why the prophets would be so mad. I understand why Christ went and made a braided belt and beat people down with what he saw. When I hear God come out of the people's lips who are the most ungodly,
mm-hmm.
It annoys me.
But there's been so many times when I'll buy a shirt and be like, man, it's going to be set off once I put some fringes on this thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you get the matching fringes that just completely just take it to another. You're like, oh, bruh. Stop.
Bro, my daughter, if something don't got fringes, be like, yo, I can't wear it.
They don't
got fringes.
With that. They don't leave the house.
It don't got fringes. I can't wear it. Yo, it's the returning of a people back to their glory.
That's right.
All right? Everything else, look, Colossians 2 and 8, everything else we brought out. Get me the one, let me see if it comes up, all right, where he says, this is your wisdom in the sight of the nations.
Deuteronomy 4.
Is it Deuteronomy 4?
4 and 6.
That one.
4 and 6. That's it.
Bring out.
That rudiments was heavy, though.
That actually start at
Imperfections.
Reverse. Let me see. Onto the statues. Okay, start at verse 1.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4 and verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments, which I teach you, for to do that ye may live.
The hell with all this other stuff about feeling good and putting Christmas lights and all this other BS, okay? It says do these things so that you can live, because if you don't, you will surely die.
That's right.
Do this so that you can live. The problem is that they really don't believe in an afterlife. They don't. It's all.
That's what it comes down to.
It's all a fairy tale to them. All right. And I'm not just saying my family. All right. And it is. It's a fairy tale to you. Unless you repent. Okay. We're going to talk about whose family and stuff today. But be the Lord's will. I got to put my thoughts together for like the million scriptures that I have. And it's still not going to be concise because there's so much more I wanted to go to what I'm going to bring out today. But, you know, the hell with what my unbelieving family says when it comes to that. All right. Listen, I'm still going to honor you as a mother, as a sister, for what it's worth, brother, whatever it is. But God is chosen first, and God is first in my house. And I will always choose the Lord, anybody that's supposedly close to me. All right? I will always choose God first. And I pray that he puts that spirit on me to endure that. I always say I believe, and I can say boldly that I would. I think the one that might give me some trouble, and I pray in that hour he gives me strength, is if it comes to the kids, right? That might be a little bit of a thing for me, but I'm preparing myself. I'm praying and working towards the best outcome for my children by applying the scriptures so that they stay in the scriptures. But I know the possibility is there because I've seen it all around me.
That's right.
And I believe now, and I can say it now, that that wouldn't affect me. But I've seen people that their kids not wanting to stay in the truth causes them to leave, that they choose over him. Look, Christ said you're not worthy of him if you choose family over him. So it's not family first. It's not. All right? It's God first. All right? It all stems from that. Go ahead. Continue to read this really quick.
Verse 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you.
Right, and adding and taking away is not, and diminishing, it says, all right, is not necessarily just trying to change the words in the scriptures, but it's talking about doers of the word, not just hearers. So adding and taking away is trying to meld Christmas with this, trying to meld Halloween or Mother's Day or anything else with it, all right? You cannot do that because by adding that to it, you are diminishing from it. Because it's imperfect, like we went with the rudiments in Colossians 2 and 8. It's imperfect, the things of this world. And the perfection in Christ and what the God, the law of the Lord is perfect. That's what converts the soul. Not you physically, not what's carnal. It converts your soul so that you may live. Read on.
Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God had destroyed them from among you.
All right, so dealing with the idolatry. There was death when it came to that under them. All praise to the Most High in Christ that you can come out of that you can repent from that. That's what Christ sacrifices for. But blood has to be spilled for remission of sins. I went over that in last week's class here in Phoenix. Lord's will, that video be able to come out, all right? Blood had to be spilled for sin, and this is why Christ's blood was spilled. That's the only way that you get to repentance. So he's telling you here, hey, keep my commandments and live, because you understand by going, and he specifically is talking about Baal Peor, but this deals with any form of idolatry, chiefly Christmas, which is a mishmash of all that stuff. Read.
But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day.
If you cleave unto the Lord your God, you're alive, every one this day. And he's showing you that in the wilderness, there was that example, that the ones that did what the Lord said, that didn't add or diminish from what he said, they lived. He gave you a physical example. Now we do it in the spiritual. All right, go ahead, read on.
Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land, whether ye go to possess it.
Right, and that goes. That means anywhere. That means even in the land of your captives. This is why I say should bethink themselves in 1 Kings 8.
That's right.
Whether they were carried captive and dare do my statutes, which I gave them. Go ahead, read on.
Keep therefore and do them.
Do them. You have to do them. Don't have God on your damn lips and you don't know what the hell you're talking about. God, 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 God. Yes, you know what? That is a God that you're saluting and praying to, as you mentioned it. And his name is Satan.
That's
read.
Right. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nation.
You can come with all your ignorant statements and everything else you have to say. God says what we are doing is wisdom and understanding in the sight of all nations. Read.
Which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.
Now this is for a time to come, because now they don't look at us that way. But when you read Isaiah 66 and it talks about how they will bring their forces and they're going to come unto us, we are meant to be kings and priests to rule the earth. That's the kingdom of heaven on earth. And that's what we're striving for. And it's going to be in righteousness and harmony. Everybody talks about world peace, world peace. World peace is not going to come till things are set right.
That's right.
This is why Romans 8 goes into when it went from when it talks about the earnest expectation of the creature and all the earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Read.
For what nation is there so great?
There is none other than Israel, not America, not Russia, not China. Who are known for greatness for what? For sins and multiplication of sins, for money and the love of money. Read.
Who has God so nigh unto them?
The nation that God has nigh unto them is great. That's the ultimate, the penultimate. It's there. It starts with him. All right? And if the one that's so nigh unto him that he calls us prince of the power, the prince of God, that's the nation that's so great. Read.
As the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for.
Because the scripture tells you that if you do his will, he'll give you what you ask for. Read verse 8. Good.
And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law?
There is no fault in not keeping these wicked holidays. There is no sadness. There is no deprivation. There is not. There's what, fringes to remind you, to keep you from iniquity? Keeping the Lord's day so that you can be with mirth, so that the joy of the Lord is your strength? I don't get depressed around the Lord's holidays, no matter what's going on in my life. It goes to show you the imperfection of these worldly holidays. I'm so depressed because my family didn't call me on these days.
Right.
Read.
Which I set before you this day.
Read verse 9.
Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently.
Because these laws are for our soul. This is why it says it's perfect, converting the soul. You keep your soul diligently by doing what God requires of you. Go ahead.
Lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen.
And we surely have forgotten. We surely have forgotten who we are and what we're about and who our father is. Who is the nation that he has most high to them, near unto him. Go ahead.
And lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life.
We must endure to the end now that we're coming back to our remembrance in this. Go ahead.
But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons.
And this is what we're going to teach. This is what we're going to teach to our children and teach them diligently at all times. Christmas is of the devil. It's of many devils, and it's idolatry, and it's the worship of nonsense. And there is nothing to be missed from that, because to do that is not love for my children and my family. To do that is surely to allow them to die, because I know the recompense of what that involves. Y'all need to wake up.
That's right.
You so-called blacks, Hispanics, natives, whatever you want to call yourself, whatever you subscribe to, Asiatic, black man, more, whatever it is that you decide that you want to call yourself, all right? Understand that repentance is revolutionary, and that's what's going to bring you your soul to the Most High. That's what's going to allow you to live and not be burned in that lake of fire. Y'all need to repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Go ahead. Nah, I'm good.
You know what, Cap? There was just someone that told me the other day, said, you know what, I'm going to just do the best that I can do as far as providing a good life to my kids. And I said, well, the ultimate goal as a father or any parent is to set up their kids for a good future, right? He's like, yeah, of course. I said, so then nothing you do is going to be profitable to them if you're not keeping them in God's laws. Because ultimately, no matter what life you give him there in this time, whether it be, you know, keeping Christmas and so on and so forth, they're still going to die in the end. So they're still going to end up burning forever.
All right. Well, we got about a minute left, a minute and change. Any quick closing thoughts from anyone?
Yeah, Christmas is of the devil.
It sure is. It sure is. You better not keep that thing.
So it's New Year's.
Yep.
That ain't even a new year.
We're doing the Lord's work on Christmas. And we used to think we'd go out and teach, but there's nobody to teach to on that day because they're all in their mirth and stuff like that. But we gonna handle Lord's business. All right. We got things planned to do. It's a free day to do stuff pertaining to moving this mission forward. All right, so this is the Native Latin Black Lost History Show. All right, you can catch us at blogtalkradio.com/IUIC Phoenix. This will upload as a podcast. Like, share, support us also on Facebook at the Lost 144K. All right. And you can go ahead and share the live stream to that. All right. Send this to your unbelieving family that don't want to keep Christmas. They better repent. All right. Your God is the devil.
That's right.
Especially if you on this Christmas spirit thing. That's the spirit of evil. Sure. That's right. All right, so Lord's will, next week we'll be able to put another show out. We have the Spanish show on Monday. Are you doing your Wednesday show?
Yes, sir.
Lord's will, right? Nothing come up.
Yes, sir. Lord's will. Lord's life.
All right, with that, we say shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.